Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With delirious joy, they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley and the amazing Philip James Gunger. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this boring program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and relationship.
Dating dilemmas.
Anything. In-laws, outlaws, we don't care. You can send us an email about anything, remain totally anonymous, but then we are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. Not everybody likes the show because of the brutal honesty and because of the runaway silliness most of the time, but that's what we do. If you'd like to participate in the show, you can send us an email at ask@markgunger.com. If we like what you have to say, we will clap, we'll applaud, we'll praise you on high. But if we think you need to be adjusted in your thinking, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation on the show. If we think you need to be awakened out of your delusions, we'll stick your head in a toilet and flush it and give you a swirly. Hopefully the water swirling around your head will awaken you of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, as often is the case, you'll get the goat button. And if you go on with too many unrelated details, you get the chicken heart chattering too much. And if you get all three, you're officially out of your mind.
I'm in awe of your look today.
Look, I'm a beautiful man
I'm
today.
I'm quite impressed by that.
Hey, get out of the way. Cameraman, get out of the way. I can't see myself. It's all about me. There we go.
Look at you.
Look at me. I look
all decked out.
Like a gangster.
You do. You look very mobbish. Like very mobbish.
I'll make you a deal you can't refuse.
Say hello to my little friend.
What you got there?
Okay.
Sunshine.
I like this article. Nine
Sunshine
chivalrous.
On my shoulder makes me happy.
Can we sing that? We'll hum that song while you're talking.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, we won't.
John Denver, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nine chivalrous habits of a true gentleman.
I only know that Plant a Tree John Denver song.
Plant a tree.
Plant a tree for tomorrow.
Yeah, that commercial. Oh, I remember that.
I never heard that one.
Mm-hmm. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He died in a plane crash.
He did.
I'm a pilot. He was a pilot. Yeah. The difference between me and him is when I fly, I go as high as I possibly can to avoid crashing into things. Mm-hmm. He flew as fast as he could, about 3 feet off the water. I'm sure it was quite exhilarating, but all it takes is one small mistake.
And that's what happened to him.
Anyway, okay. All right, what do you got?
Anyhow, these habits are things that true gentlemen do that make women melt, apparently.
Melty so women,
listen up
which looks kind of gross, but go ahead.
I'm melting.
First one, opening doors. A guy who takes the time to come around and open the car door for you is a keeper. Do you open car doors for your women, men?
I do, from time to time.
If my wife's not feeling well, I open the door for her.
Okay.
I've been very chivalrous of late because she's been struggling with her health. And
I have four kids, so we're usually both opening doors.
This is true.
Yes.
But if it's just the two of you, do you go out of your way to do it?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Do you?
Ding! Right. For Phil.
Boo.
For Gunger. Mark Gunger.
Boo!
Number two, I love this one. Saving the last bite of food. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, so when he leaves the last bite for you, it's basically him saying he likes you more than whatever meal is in front of him. And for me, if you just share your food with me.
Because she's a moocher.
Means everything.
She's a moocher, this one.
I know you love me when you share your food with me.
She's a moocher.
So was my wife.
Hey, can I have some of that? Ooh, that looks
good. I'm awful.
Gotta beat her back. Ross used to.
Ross hated that. He never wanted to share.
He'd sit
with
as far
me.
Away from her as possible during lunch because he knew she tried to take something off his plate.
There are several other people who don't appreciate my food habit.
It doesn't bother me at all.
No, I love
You may freely grab.
My wife bases her order off of what I ordered.
That's just like, exactly
well,
what I
part
do.
Of that, and then I would also like.
I would eat part of his.
I will convince my husband to order the other thing that I want because I can't decide between two. I'm like, okay, I'll get this, but then will you get that for me? And he usually always obliges. He's very sweet that way. He'll get the other thing I want to eat.
Wow.
I try to get other people to do that. They're
impressive,
not so compliant.
Young Skywalker.
Number three, spending time with your family. A guy who shows an interest in your baby photos, coaches your little brother on how to throw a football, compliments your mother's cooking, is a guy who's in it for the long haul. These are small gestures, but they speak volumes about his intentions.
Okay, spending time with your family. I think that makes absolute sense.
Yes.
And without going into a rant here, which I'm often inclined to do. Girls, when you're dating, all you guys, I mean, I know these guys, they date the girl and they can't stand the family, hate the family, can't stand the mother and the father and her cousins and stuff. He's still around her and he taught her, but she, you know, how dumb are you, girl? You can tell he can't stand. How dumb is the guy?
Well, because you know what they say, I'm marrying you, I'm not marrying the family.
No,
and that's
no,
a crap.
No.
You are marrying the family. Yep.
And if you can't stand the family, then leave the girl alone, you dummies, and move on. Find somebody else where you actually like the family. Which is going to be tough for some guys because they hate everybody. There's guys like that. They don't like anybody.
No, they don't like people.
But they tend to make very lousy spouses anyway. Yeah. These are the guys who you know, they like to sit out in the woods shooting stuff. Live in the woods.
Yeah. Go be a mountain man.
Mountain man. Live out there and grow a beard like this guy.
He's getting ready for his next
Mr.
phase
Al-Qaeda
of life.
Mr. Al-Qaeda over here. So anyway, all right.
Okay. Al-Qaeda, this is a freedom beard.
Freedom.
They can take our lives, but they'll never take all freedom. All right.
Okay, the fourth one, suffering through a girly movie. When a man volunteers to endure a girly show or movie because he knows you'll enjoy it, he earns major bonus points, even more if he does so without complaining or expecting something in return.
I'm doing pretty good on this so far.
You are.
I do.
You're quite the gentleman.
But the thing is, I'm not suffering through a girly movie. I actually like girly movies.
Yes, you do.
But I'm not totally girly. I'm just a girly man because I like Braveheart.
Yes, you
freedom!
Do.
Freedom! I like, you know, chopping off people. You know, it's a beautiful, glorious thing to watch people kill each other on screen. So I like all the violence and everything else, but I actually like chick flicks.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Do you, Phil?
I do not like chick flicks.
But do you watch them with your lovely brother?
I will. So my wife's into, like, Gilmore Girls now.
Oh, my.
Going back and watching that.
Oh, now that might be nasty.
If it was a whole
I don't know
series.
If I could do that. You are a better man than me.
Let's just say smartphones are wonderful, so I was still able to watch Monday Night Football on my phone.
While you were sitting watching Gilmore Girls with her. That's hilarious.
I trained this boy well.
The fifth one. Sending flowers. I'm not talking about the $100 bouquet you get on Valentine's Day. I'm talking about the grocery store assortment he picked up on a random Tuesday while thinking of you. There's just something about unexpected flowers that makes a girl smile.
Now, I actually talk about this, and I encourage this. Mm-hmm. I, however, in full
disclosure,
will admit I virtually never do it. But I don't think she cares. I did it and she really lit up.
Yeah.
I'd be more inclined.
But
look, there's some things you do for your wife. I don't care what the formulas are. Apparently, this is formulaic. Women tend to like this. I happen to be married to a woman who would say she likes it, but you can tell, you know, she can live with it or who cares.
I think she likes it when I bring her flowers better than you.
What is that about?
I don't know.
She can't win. Can't win in this situation.
I don't know.
So anyway.
You do this one. I think you do. Number six, walking on the outside of the sidewalk.
I try to.
The first time someone does this, you will probably be confused, but then you'll start to question how come other men in your life haven't been concerned about positioning themselves in such a way that you'd be protected should curbside tragedy strike.
That's the idea, that if a car, and you would be stunned. If you look at the statistics, the number of people, at least in America, that are killed every day just randomly by a car hitting a walking pedestrian, it's stunning. The numbers are huge.
More than you think.
We should look at it during the break and see what the number is. You have no idea how many people die that way. So the idea is a man as a protector walks on the outside to protect the girl.
You're the shield.
Yeah.
So that he can see it coming first.
So he can see it coming first.
Push her out of the way.
Get her out of the way. Push her in the way. Hit her! You know. But I will admit, you know, I got to kind of wrestle for that position for her. I don't know why. She doesn't, you know. So half the time I go,
forget
walk
it.
On the outside.
Get hit. Go ahead. Get hit. quiet.
Maybe God's called you to be my natural airbag. I don't know. Anyway, I try.
You do try. Number seven, I really like this one too. Kissing your forehead. Sure, if you're hoping to date someone and he does this, it can be a dreaded sign of sibling-like affection. But if you're in a long-term relationship and your guy does this, it's a small gesture that can make you feel adored.
All right. I do that one. What about you, Phil?
I used to do this every morning. I would kiss her goodbye. Uh-huh. And then we got kids. And realized
you won't see each other again for the next 18 years.
Well, she doesn't want to be, if she's sleeping,
she doesn't want to be disturbed.
Leave me alone. Later.
But that's when I used to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It was romantic. Now
it'll come back.
Quit waking me up!
It'll come back.
There better be an emergency.
Yeah. There'll be many things that come back. You're in children mode. Yeah. Life changes. So we'll give you a pass on that one.
This one, right. I really like too, filling up your gas tank. Much like walking on the outside of a sidewalk, this gesture will probably surprise you the first time it's performed. It's indicative of a man who was raised right and is generally courteous, which is always a welcome surprise.
And it is a possibility, while filling up the gas tank, you will ignite the thing and blow into a million pieces. It's a very small possibility.
But it might happen.
Like in the States, I don't know about Africa and Australia and some of these other places where our show is seen, but there's a law here that you have to turn your car off.
Yes.
When you do, but I frequently break that law. Do you know why? Because it's so stinking cold here. It is cold. It's like 20 degrees below zero. You expect me to shut off my car to keep from blowing up. I'm thinking, let it blow up. At least I'll be warm.
I'm sorry. I am way more of a man than you. I will turn the car off and I will stay outside the car the entire time.
You're supposed to do that too.
Because
and I do
I'm
not
more
do
of
it.
A man than you.
No, 20 degrees below zero. You're crazy.
I know.
I leave it on, heat blowing. I quick put in the gas and I run back and I shut the door. And I'm enjoying the heat and I'm watching through the rearview mirror in case anything happens. But if anything happens, I'm going to blow to pieces anyway. But and of course, I've never heard of it happening. I don't know what rule
that
is.
Apparently, kind of like one of those don't use your cell phones when you're flying rule.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's one of the stupidest rules on earth.
It's going to crash the plane.
I'm a pilot. It has nothing to do with anything. Okay, I'm having fun with this, but we need to take a break. And we'll come back with more of this opening, whatever this
article.
Is, article right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger. There's no denying what I see standing right there in front of me.
We are back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger looking like a mobster today.
John Gotti.
John Gotti. I got even a better. Actually, this is very John Gotti,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
I've got even a more gangster. I should work for the next show. But talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. However, we're not talking about your emails yet. We're just talking about this article that our lovely lady here brought to the show. 9 chivalrous habits of a true gentleman. One was opening doors for the girl, saving the last bite of food for the girl, spending time with her family, suffering through girly movies. And there are those of us who actually enjoy those. Sending flowers, but random, like just...
Because
in the middle of nowhere, no reason, no big production, small little rose or something. Taking the outside of the sidewalk when you're walking along with a girl. And we talked about this, and we looked during the break. Mm-hmm. There are how many thousand in America who get killed just walking along the road? Just think, this is not car wrecks or anything, heart disease, just walking alongside of the road.
4,743 people were killed.
Yeah, okay. That's 13 people a day.
13 people a day.
Every day.
Die from
being
struck by a car on the sidewalk.
Killed. Now, you still got to factor in how many people got hit and did not get killed.
This is true.
Because chances are there are way more who get hit who are not killed. Because if you get fatal, you got to get just hammered.
Mm-hmm.
All right? 13. So that's why walking on the outside of the road. Actually, now I'm thinking about it. I'm letting her walk on the outside of the road. Holy moly.
Nice.
That's some scary statistics. For those of you who come to America, whatever you do, don't walk alongside of the road. Clearly these people don't know how to drive. Be interesting. You know what it's like in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a nasty one. Then we talk about kissing her on the forehead. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cute little thing. And then filling up your gas tank. And we talked about how the rule is in America. Actually, in Africa, if I remember, there's always somebody else filling up your gas tank. It used to be like the U.S. used to be.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to get out of your car. Here in America, fill up your own stupid tank.
I wish they had full service.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of service in the United States of America. That's what I love about going to other countries. That's what I love about Africa. There's people everywhere doing nice things and serving. They're very when you go to a restaurant, man, there's service people all over the place. In America, about the only way you can get a waiter to stop by again, you got to light yourself on fire. And then then they'll just yell at you for having fire.
For sitting in this non-smoking seat. Yeah.
All right. So filling up your gas tank. You know, you're supposed to get out of your car and stay there and shut the car off and fill the tank. And I forget it. I it's so cold where we live. I leave it. But even when it's hot here, it'll get hot here as well. I still leave the air conditioning on. I run out. And
are
I jump back in.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
You are such a girly man.
I am a girl.
No, seriously.
How many times have you even heard of a car exploding into fire because of static electricity? I'm sure somewhere in the world of theory, it's possible. That's why you're not supposed to get out of your car because
you slide across the seat and create static and you touch the gas.
Apparently, a little spark on your butt will light off the gas coming out in the back and you're going to a.
I don't think there's. Yeah, I think that's.
Urban legend.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But
like
it's funny on. As you're saying that, I looked up Yahoo Answers and like the number one answer is never leave your car while pumping gas. Anyone who does this is stupid and uneducated.
Well, that goes without saying. But what evidence has this ever happened to anybody? Do people?
Well, I don't know.
It's not like. Well, they don't warn people about walking on side of the street.
I don't know.
You'd think in America, they would be warning everybody.
People.
Welcome to America, and for the love of God, don't take a walk because someone's going to run you over. Okay?
Sure,
but you don't hear about that.
Yeah. Not that many people die.
But don't
from
you
gas
dare get out of
explosion.
Here. And I've never heard of anybody blowing up in a gas tank while filling their car.
No.
Anyway,
this is true. I just don't want it to happen because I would hate to burn to death. So I'll just get out of my car just in case.
Well, that's the thing. Don't get out of your car because if you blow up there, you could still burn. If you're inside, you just go quick. Boom! You're gone. So I'm thinking this stuff through. I don't care. It's so cold. I'm staying inside.
Okay.
Y'all can freeze.
The last one, number 9, putting your jacket on. Women are fully capable of putting their own jackets on, but it's not a question of ability. It's gentlemanly and kind for someone to hold out your jacket for you or offer you theirs when it's cold. He'll never do that because he's just the girly man who's always so cold. He'll keep his own jacket.
Oh, I have a weather jacket. I do almost all these things.
Yes, you do.
Yes. It says in this article, it's guaranteed to make a woman melt.
I'm melting.
All right. So much for our opening deal. That was very interesting. All right. Now, when we come back, we will actually take a shot at one of your emails that you can send to us at ask@markgunger.com. We'll be back with those right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Blinding light, flash of chrome. I had blonde in a tricked out fold. Red round lights.
Music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at JimmyBratcher.com. You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails about said subjects. What have you got there?
The show where it's proven that what is good for the gander is not good for the goose.
Don't listen to her, folks. She is insane.
Okay.
She's out of her mind.
The first emails.
We're debating. It's okay if I make fun of other people, but I don't like when they make fun of me. Well, of course. Of course. That would be ungodly. If I mock others, that's the will of God.
You're awful. You are just awful. Okay. She's writing. She says, don't make me laugh. My situation is this. I am divorced, and I have been dating a man who is also divorced.
Okay.
He has a lot of good qualities. He is a servant at heart. He's a hard worker and has a strong work ethic.
I feel a big butt coming.
A good father and a protector.
Not that he has a big butt. I mean, but there's something wrong.
I know.
Okay.
He
may have a big butt, but I don't know that.
All I could think of was that song.
Shut up, woman. Just keep going. I like big butts and a can. Yeah, I know. I know. I knew what you were thinking, too.
You made me.
By the way, did you know,
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
You always play things and you say, oh, you can play like up to 7 seconds or something.
Is that not true?
Yeah. I heard some producer because they were trying to do it on another podcast I was listening to, and the producer said, yeah, no, that's an absolute myth.
You can't do it at all.
I have to bleep out every bit of that song that you just played. Because
uh-oh.
You can't play
so
any
now
of
you're
it.
In trouble.
Is that what he says?
Uh-huh.
I don't like what he says.
All right.
I like my delusional version anyway.
Okay.
We'll have to find us first. I don't think a lot of high-end Hollywood producers
care
are watching this show. But seriously,
well, you're hoping they are, yeah.
I hope they are, because I play little tiny clips. So even 7 seconds.
Yeah, they had to bleep it all out, and the guy's like, well, yeah, no, that they can't come after you for playing even that tiny bit of it.
Blah, blah, blah.
But okay, there you go. Okay.
Don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. I want to remain ignorant.
See, he can plead ignorant, or so he thinks, which is the case about most things in his life.
He can feign ignorance.
Are you going to listen to the rest of this latest email?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So he's this great guy, blah, 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 blah. He has these visions, dreams, and plans of helping divorced men find their way to Christ, which is wonderful. My concern is that he says that I am his rock and that he cannot live the godly man lifestyle on his own. I know that Mark has said that women are the moral accountability in men's lives, but shouldn't he be able to walk the walk on his own? We took a break a few months ago because of my concern, and he seems to fall right back into the pit of sin. He says he wants to try again.
What sin?
I didn't ask.
He said he was a godly, glorious, wonderful man.
When he's with her, and then when he's not with her,
well, what's
he goes
doing?
Off the rails. I don't know. Woman,
he falls into a pit.
I don't know. He falls into pitfall.
Well, that's
Harry.
Kind of an important detail.
I'm sorry. Sin is sin. I didn't think that it really mattered.
It does.
Apparently.
Well, I mean, if he just has, he gets irritable, if he's beating people. If he's looking at porn, if he's shooting random strangers walking around the neighborhood, it's kind of a big deal.
I'm guessing it has more to do with probably porn or something like that. That would just be my assumption.
All right.
Anyway, it didn't seem like it mattered for her question. He wants to try to date with her again, but she's not sure. Unless I feel that I found a godly partner to spend the rest of my life with, she said, I just want some advice whether she should go back to dating him again. That he can't manage to keep his act together without her.
Well, clearly no. That's the whole point of dating, is to look at people's character. If you find out, you really get to know somebody, like she's getting to know him, and then all he can do is hold it together when she's around him, but outside of him, that means he has no character. Right?
Yes.
It's easy to not shoplift if a cop's looking at you. We'll be back.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Every day I fall in love again. We're back again on the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Just had an email from a lady who asked, you know, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. There's always this but that comes in, you know.
When I'm watching.
So when he's with me, he's really good. But when he's away from me, he's really bad. You know, what should I do? Marry him so I can be around him all that? No. What you're seeing is a man has bad character. You know when it's really easy to obey all the traffic rules? When a cop's right behind you.
Yeah, I always go the speed limit.
Oh my goodness, right, I just watch every little thing I do and make sure I, you know.
Yeah, the blinker's on.
But you really know character, what you like when nobody can see you. And clearly this man doesn't have any character. My advice, my dear, is get away from him. So stay away from these women who write us. You know, he's a really wonderful man of God, but, and then you describe all these horrible things. Stop with the butts.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other
My son tells me I can't legally play those. I disagree.
Okay.
I live in my own delusional world. My understanding is if it's shorter than so many seconds, you can do it.
Okay.
Especially if it's political commentary, right? That's really free. You can make them up as you go, I guess. No, if it has to do with political satire, you can do almost anything. You don't need permission.
The songs and all of that?
Yeah, it's a really loose. Now, again, it might be another myth, but.
So I think he just makes up.
For example, you have to get real permission and stuff before you can change words and stuff to any
kind
of song.
To do a parody.
But if you're doing it for political expression, apparently they give you a much larger
freedom of speech kind of a thing.
So I'm claiming everything I say is political. I don't know.
It's your First Amendment right, apparently.
As soon as Hollywood calls me, I'll stop. All right, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay, this email says, hello all, military wife here, and I have a question that a lot of us might have since we move around a lot, you know, the military
yes.
families. We recently moved to a new city and have been struggling to find a church home. So many of the churches seem to be dead, for lack of a better word. Nothing is perfect, and we don't expect perfection. However, it would be wonderful to find good. We'll try one for a few weeks at a time, but it's hard. What do you do? What do you do if you like one, but your spouse doesn't? There's only been one that has stood out to me, yet not to him, and I want him to be happy with the decision. So what advice do you have for
him? You won't like my advice. I've had up to here with me. I have no respect for people who whine that they can't find a good church. None. Just shut up. Find a church, plug in, and make it a good church. Serve. Man, I went to churches for years. I couldn't stand.
I go to a church right now.
People are nice, but the pastor.
I don't know. There's this moron every Sunday that
yes,
we have
blah,
to contend
blah, 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 blah.
But, you know, I'm there to serve. It's not about...
I was not always pastoring, and I was in churches for years because I just got in, and I committed, and I served as best I could. It's not about... Everybody's so stinking selfish today. You know, it's like... Look, at all relationships... I'm going to go on a little sermonette here.
Go ahead.
All relationships... And people won't like this because they're so spiritual, you know. God told us this, and angels sang songs when we first dated, and, you know, there's a big handwriting on the wall, date and marry this man, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course, these people, then they can't stand each other after they get married anyway. I always find it highly entertaining.
Yes.
But the truth is, most people get married for very selfish reasons. They do. Virtually every relationship, people, and you can get as spiritual as you want to be because I'm not going to believe you and listen to you anyway. You want this guy because he makes you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. He ministers to your needs. He acknowledges my ministry. He la la la, and he's cute and everything. The guy's doing the same thing. Oh, look at her. She's the way she looks, her face, the perfume that she wears. I'm choking because of Diane's perfume over here. But of whatever, you know, there's something about what you do that makes me, and you get two people who get a situation where they both make each other feel this incredible sense of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
At some fundamental level, that is selfish. It's okay, you know? I mean, it is what it is.
What it is.
It is what
yeah.
it is. Nobody's going to want to marry someone. Gee, you make me want to vomit. Or I can't stand you.
Dear
or, man,
Darla,
you?
I hate your stinking guts. You are scum between my toes.
What is that?
Little Rascals?
I don't remember that. No. That was his letter
to the
girl.
You make me want to vomit.
You make me want to vomit. Chances are you won't want to date that and marry that person. You won't even date them, much less marry them. So I get it. It's okay. You want to find someone you want to feel as comfortable around and you're on the same page. I get it. But the minute you marry, now you start to die, mm-hmm. which is what you're supposed to do. And here's the problem. Fundamental to Christian doctrine is the idea of dying to selfishness. And there's no more perfect institution designed to kill your selfishness than marriage. And you get married, and now you have to learn to surrender, and it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's been married will testify. It's a painful experience, the part of dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get everything right. you want, and she's going to do stuff, you know, and you want this, and you wrestle that out, and everybody, and the more you learn to die to yourself over all these periods, actually you're supposed to build character in you. Okay, a lot of you, as soon as you start to not get everything you want, you think the world's... I can think of some people right now, you know, you can counsel them to death, and they're still always miserable. But all they're just miserable because they can't get everything they want all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to explain to them, you're not supposed to get it. God doesn't even want you to get everything that
oh,
you
come
want.
On now. Doesn't God want me to be happy?
He doesn't want... Anybody who has children, let me ask you a question. Is it good for your children to get everything they want? Mom?
No.
Okay, God's the same way. No. Believe it or not, God doesn't even want you to get everything that you want. I know it's hard for you to imagine, oh, I want everything. Oh, I know. Look, stand in faith and do it. But James was clear about it in the scripture. He says, look, the reason a lot of you don't get answers to prayer is because you're asking for the wrong motives.
He doesn't, selfish motives.
Yeah, and he doesn't want you to get whatever you want. You can stand on the word as much as you want, but the reality is at some point, God ain't going to give you everything you want. So that's the experience. The experience of marriage is you have to go on to maturity. If you have to stay in a constant state of, I'm getting all the buzz and energy and attention in the world that I want, you will commit adultery. And these are people, they are serial adulterers, because as soon as they get married, at some point, they start going into the die mode of dying to self. They don't like it. And then some other cute little girl comes along, and she's got a nicer, you know, face, or a prettier this, or she's got, you know.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
And you think, oh, man, I'm all for this, okay? And then you'll run off with her. And then the minute and that starts wearing off, because you start to now have to die to yourself, they get rid of that one and get another one. And there's Christians who claim to be Christians who use spiritual things like, well, the God told us to get divorced because the Lord has something else for me. They're delusional. God is not schizophrenic. He doesn't deny his own self. The Bible says you should get married and not divorce. For anyone to say, well, God told me to get divorced, you're crazy, okay? But these are people who are just hell-bent on being as selfish as they possibly can. You have to get married. And it starts self, I get it, but now you have to learn, and we'll help you. That's why this show, that's why your pastor, all the stuff we need to learn. What you need to understand is painful it is to die, and nobody likes to die. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
That's right.
Okay? I'm looking forward to heaven. Not excited about the dying process.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta tell you, I vote for the rapture. Or being blown to bits next to my car when I'm filling it with gas and I'm in my car staying warm, and then boom! And I just wake up in heaven. Okay, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Okay, but no one likes the dying process. Okay, and that's what it is. Now, having said that, all about not only do marriages start that way, almost any relationship starts that way. The reason you have the friends you have is because they make you feel in a certain way, and you like the way they laugh, and you like the shows they like because of the shows that you like, and you like this and you like that, and we eat the same food, and we get together, and we eat bratwurst at the Packer game, and ooh, it's so wonderful, you know. And a lot of reason why people can't start keep friends is because at some point people start to change, and I don't like him anymore because they won't admit it, but they're not getting their selfishness met. It is what it is, okay? If you're going to be a true friend sticks with you even when you don't make them happy. Right? Everybody understands that.
Even when they
annoy you. Shut up over there, okay?
Even when they annoy you to no end.
Some people. All right, so now all back to this church thing. The truth is virtually everybody goes to a church at some point because of what they get out of it. Now, if you get saved in a particular church, you tend to lock onto that church, period.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of what they did in your life. They brought you the good news. You don't even think in terms of, I need to find a church that ministers to mine, because that's the nice thing about it. You get a conference church, they tend to stay in your church.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is everybody else that goes looking for churches. Whoops, the bobblehead fell over. We can't have that. That's just wrong. You know, they go from church to church, and everybody, and I know it.
Trying to find where it feels good to them.
No, I get it. The people who come visiting our church, you know where they stay? There's something about the way the church makes them feel, and they like the music, and they love the preacher, because clearly he's one of the best-looking men on the face of the earth. Goes without saying. All right, or they like the programs or something like that. They just think it's fabulous. Until something changes.
Until the pastor makes you irritated.
Well, the truth is, there's a lot of people that move around the churches, and I can feel it. And I don't care, because they can all jump off the cliff right here, these selfish people. But you're constantly on trial with these people.
Mm-hmm.
They sit there, and they're listening to the scriptures that you're preaching. And if you pass a certain muster with them, okay. But they just wait for you to say something that could possibly be interpreted as not exactly accurate. And these people who are emailing and jump on you, and the brother, we don't know that scripture. You do that two or three times, they leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they love the choir, and the choir is wonderful, and all of a sudden you change the choir, quit having the choir. Oh my gosh, last time we did this in our church, 150 people left. You know these people, they're just children. They're selfish. They're just, seriously, that's the reason you went to church, is because you got to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, some people thought about me. Even people want to come to church at some point. I know you came to your church. If you got saved in that church, you're probably, that's why you're there. But if you visited and you liked whatever, at some point you need to move past that. You need to quit being so selfish. You need to be there. And it doesn't matter if they let you sing songs anymore. It doesn't matter if they let you run the children's ministry. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be a servant. You know what a servant does? Whatever he's told to do. They tell you to do something, you should just do it. And you serve. Well, I don't like the new pastor. Who cares? I don't like the singer. Who cares? Well, it's all about me. Really? You come because of the certain types of songs, and if they change the songs, you're going to... To me, that's the problem. That's one of the major problems of Christianity, and why the power of God is absent from so many of our churches, because we're not there as a way of serving. We're there to get blessed, and I'm here to get fed, and I'm not getting fed. That is one of the most selfish, narcissistic statements any Christian can say. Any Christian who ever says, I'm not getting fed, is a self-centered, narcissistic snot, in my opinion. Feed yourself. I don't need to be fed by somebody else. For heaven's sakes. just join together. So let's build the kingdom of God together. Let's submit to one another. Serve one another. So anyway, she's in this mode not because she's unfaithful to the church, because they move around a lot. Mm-hmm. And then they're trying to find the right person. Sweetheart, who cares? You know what? Go to the church closest to your house. You say, well, that's terrible. Great. Go make it better. Mm-hmm. Serve them. Love them. The good news for you is you're going to move in a couple of years.
That's right.
Right? That's what do you care?
You can endure anything for a couple of years.
All you military people, stop it. I get these emails all the time. Well, how do I find a church like yours? There's no church like mine, because no church has me. Hallelujah.
You're shouting.
I'm shouting. I'm not yelling at everybody. How are you? What's your name? Stop yelling at me. I can't help it. That's what I do. All right. For heaven's sakes, just plug in. Here's what you do. Find the closest church to your building or your house. Maybe it's not somebody, it's a mile. Go and be part of that. Well, I don't know if I believe with all their doctrines. Good. Good. Go to some place where you disagree with almost everything, unless they're complete heretics. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know? A church that believes in Jesus, believes in the Bible. Well, I don't know if I agree with, you know, speaking in tongues the way I think it should. Good. Good. Go. Serve them. Love them. Worship together with them. The good news for you is you get to move in another 8 months or whatever your deal is. Because they move them constantly. Mm-hmm. And the next place, find the closest church. One time it's going to be the Baptists. Love the Baptists. Next time you're going to be with the Presbyterians. Praise God. Hang with the Presbyterians. Next time you're going to be Word of God, Holy Ghost, Word Christ the Redeemer, Pentecostal, speaking in tongues. Great. Go in there. Roll in the aisles. Jump. Swing from the chandeliers and do flips. Wow! And the next one, you go into some Lutheran church. Praise God. Get very religious. Just do whatever. Just serve God. And I'm done yelling. And we're going to take a break. Goodbye.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
See, I'm tired. I've been carrying a heavy load. 'Cause I was born with the blues and bad attitude.
We're back, Mark Gunger Show. Mark Gunger, along with Diane Brierley, Phil Gunger, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. I've calmed down.
Okay. Why do you have your flashlight on your phone?
I've checked my medication. I'm checking my pulse.
Oh. Is there a blood pressure meter on there, too?
There's a pulse app. Let's see what your pulse is. Oh, I just, people who are so selfish, it just...
You just get on a tear.
What? Because it makes me mad.
I know, I can tell.
You know, the early Christians laid down their lives. Yep. It cost them everything. Today, people can't go to church because they can't find a church they like. Good. Good. Yep. Find the church you can't stand the most. How about that? Mm-hmm. First of all, you should be in a church right now, and this shouldn't be an issue. You should have grown up in the church or gotten saved in the church, and you should have stayed wherever you got saved, unless they started preaching heresy. Mm-hmm. But if you're wandering around, find the one that is the worst one you can find, that you cannot stand, assuming they at least teach the truth, mm-hmm. and get in that church. The good news, go to the church where they can't sing at all. Chances are now you can sing, because even if you're bad, you're probably better than they are. You come to my church, you probably never get a chance to sing. It's true.
Probably not.
We got some killer singers at our church. We got some fabulous musicians. You think you're going to play music at our church? Boy, you better be able to bring it.
Yeah.
Because we have some world-class players that play. Our piano player. Try and outplay this lady. Lots of luck with that. You know, you feel it. You have to play the piano. Don't come to my church. Go to some place where there's a little old lady still playing. Mm. Leaning, safe and secure for my alarm. You know, do that. Anyway.
I did have someone ask. I think it was.
I must be dead because it's not taking any blood pressure at all.
No pulse.
No pulse. I'm dead. All right.
The wife and the husband came up, and the wife said, hey, my husband, what would it take for him to be able to sing that last song you guys sang? Or what are the odds of him singing that? And I said, not good. She kind of. Was taken back,
I bet.
Are they new to the church?
I don't know.
Some people come.
It's tough to say. And she was just kind of taken back. And really? I said, yeah. I said, you can audition, but you're going to have to sing it better than him, or I'm going to have him sing it every time.
They're just used to probably other churches saying, sure, come on, we'll give you a chance to sing.
76, is that good or bad?
That's good.
All right. Usually it's 60-something. So slightly elevated.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mess with that now. While you yell at some more people.
Do you have that app?
The health app?
No.
Oh. It's a pulse meter?
It's a pulse. We should make them pay for all the advertising they're about to get from us. It's called heart rate.
During the break, you can do mine. But I'll actually wait till during the break, boys.
All right.
To do mine.
Anyway, yes, you sweet lady who wrote us. God bless her. Yeah. Serving her country. We appreciate that. Just find a church close to you and plug in, no matter what, especially in your situation, because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. God might be using you. If that church really stinks and lies, it's because it's got a. If the church is dead, it's because it's full of dead people. You walk in, bring life. Mm-hmm. I'm some of the great blessings that the people that come in. There, again, that's what we would do. We would just find a church and we just plug in.
Yeah,
and it didn't matter.
And it sounds like they found one that they, or someone found one that they like.
One of the two of them at least likes it.
Yeah, but it shouldn't matter. If either one, I'm not exaggerating. Find the closest church to you, and assuming they're not heretics, just go
do
there.
It.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Make it as easy for you to get there, and just shine as brightly as you can shine. And love these people. And let God use you. What do you care if you like it? What does it matter with people? I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. I don't even think, I wasn't raised in those terms. You serve God where you're at. Mm-hmm. That's because you like the church you're in. I love the church I'm in now, especially the pastor. Mm-hmm. Seriously, one of the main reasons I love preaching is because I'm about the only guy I agree with. But you know me. I sat in church for years. Years. People were probably, if you add them all, probably of the last 30 years, the bulk of that time in churches where I sat under ministries of people who I couldn't stand the way they preached. Mm-hmm. Or I disagreed with them half the time. I was in one church for at least 5 years where I preach, and every Sunday, I had no idea what the pastor said. Mm-hmm. No, I would sit right on the front row, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to
get it.
And we'd walk out, and I'd say, I have no idea what he said. How can you talk for 45 minutes and not make any sense?
Oh, there's people who can do it.
Every Sunday, you think, by accident, you'd make sense.
There's people who don't make
sense. You know what I'm saying? Just by, but we served faithfully. I'm not getting fed. See, I'm getting upset already.
And some people, I think they feel like they over-spiritualize it as well, where they don't want to miss out where God wants them to be. And I've talked to people like that. I'm like,
oh, yeah, because they spiritualize that. Like, God really moved us to the church. God is asking us to be in this church.
Like, God. Do you think God would actually be mad at you if you went to some church that believes in him
and
you sat there and served? Do you think he's going to be like, what the heck are you guys doing? And they're like, no. I guess not.
They're so stuck about an unrealistic expectation of yourself. Trust me, if God really wants you to go someplace, he'll tell you.
Well, that's God what they say.
Well, people God hasn't
say
told
that all the time.
Because God, most of the time, doesn't really care. Yeah. You need to go to break. All right. They're yelling at me in the sound booth. Well, see, I thought I moved on. I came back from the break. I thought I moved on, and I had moved on. I probably won't either. We'll be back right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
You better call my therapist for a session.
Okay, we're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. And we've just been on this rant. We might as well finish out the show with this. Is this that people, all relationships start. Marriage relationships, friendship relationships, even church relationships. Unless you get saved in the church and, you know, assuming they're not heretics or doing something horrible to you, they start for basically fundamentally selfish reasons because they make you feel good or they're ministering to you and stuff like that. And my argument is at some point you need to move past that. In your marriage, you know what would be exciting? Anyone who's been married for 10, 15, 20 years, well, not anyone, but I mean, generally speaking, you want an exciting time, get rid of that spouse and get another one. At least for the first six months or so, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be really exciting, you know? And then once they have born, get rid of that one, get another one. Mm-hmm. That's what people do.
They do, because they're looking for the constant excitement.
Constant excitement, constant, everything's about me, and they think that God's in that. God is not in selfishness. Same with your friends. Some of you have wonderful friends. You have friends you haven't talked to in 2 years that you used to be the greatest friends of just because they did something you didn't like. Shame on you. And then your churches. You go to these churches, and you're there only for one reason. As long as it ministers to you. As long as it blesses me. As long as I like the songs. As long as the pastor preaches the way I like. Shame on the whole lot of you. Stop that. At some point, we need to grow past selfishness and say, you know, I'm here for other people. I'm here to do something. You know, at least people get it with their kids. At least women get it with their kids. Your kids, no matter how disgusting and obnoxious they are, you still love them. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't get rid of them because they don't do everything you want. We need to get past and start living this everywhere. All right, we'll see you.
Bye.